Here is a detailed podcast episode transcript discussing the research paper Bridging Ache and Bick, a new criterion for autoregression. Welcome to the Curiosity Chronicles, the podcast that delves deep into the world of cutting-edge research. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating new development in the field of model selection for autoregressive time series analysis.
That's right, Jen. The paper we'll be discussing today is titled Bridging Ache and Bick, a new criterion for autoregression, and it's authored by Ji Ding, Wahid Taruk, and Yuong Yang.
This paper introduces a brand new model selection technique that combines the strengths of two well-established approaches, the Akaike Information Criterion, or AIC, and the Bayesian Information Criterion, or BIC. The authors show how this new criterion can adaptively achieve the benefits of both AIC and BIC, depending on the underlying structure of the data.
Autoregressive models are a really important tool in time series analysis, allowing us to make predictions about the future behavior of a variable based on its past values. But selecting the appropriate order, or complexity, of the autoregressive model is crucial. Too simple and you miss important details, too complex and you overfit the data.
Exactly. The AIC and BIC have long been go-to methods for autoregressive model selection, but they each have their own strengths and weaknesses. AIC is known to be more efficient when the true model has an infinite or high order, while BIC is consistent in identifying the correct finite order model.
This new criterion the authors propose aims to get the best of both worlds. It can adaptively switch between consistency and efficiency depending on the true underlying structure of the data. That's a really powerful capability when you're working with real-world time series data, where you often don't have a priori knowledge about the model.
To understand how this new criterion works, let's delve into the technical details. The key idea is to introduce a parametricity index that measures how close the true model is to a finite-order autoregression. When the index is high, indicating a finite-order model, the criterion behaves like BIC and is consistent. But when the index is low, indicating an infinite or high-order true model, the criterion acts more like AIC and is efficient.
Right, so it's almost like the criterion is reading the tea leaves of the data to figure out whether a simpler finite model is appropriate, or if a more complex infinite model is needed. And it adjusts its behavior accordingly. That's a really clever and adaptive approach.
Exactly. The authors show through both theoretical analysis and numerical simulations that this new criterion outperforms both AIC and BIC in a variety of scenarios. It's able to accurately identify the true model order, whether that's a finite number or effectively infinite, without requiring any prior information about the data.
That's really impressive. Model selection is such a critical step in time series analysis, and having a flexible tool that can handle different types of data structures is invaluable. I can see this new criterion being widely adopted, especially in fields like finance, economics, and engineering where autoregressive models are heavily used.
Absolutely, and the broader implications of this work go beyond just autoregressive models. The author's concept of an adaptive, data-driven criterion that can switch between consistency and efficiency depending on the underlying structure is a powerful idea that could potentially be applied to model selection problems in many other areas of statistics and machine learning.
That's a great point. This paper isn't just about a new tool for time series analysis. It's really about rethinking the fundamental trade-offs in model selection and developing more flexible, robust approaches. The authors have made a significant contribution to statistical theory and methodology.
I agree, Tom. This is the kind of research that not only solves a practical problem, but also advances our understanding of the foundational principles governing model selection. It's an excellent example of how rigorous mathematical analysis, paired with clever intuition, can yield impactful discoveries.
Absolutely. Well, Jen, this has been a fascinating deep dive into a really innovative piece of research. I'm excited to see how this new criterion for autoregressive model selection gets adopted and built upon in the future.
Me too, Tom. Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Curiosity Chronicles. Until next time, Keep exploring. Tom and Jen, goodbye.
Are you tired of struggling with autoregressive model selection? Overwhelmed by the trade-offs between AIC and BIC?
Introducing Model Magic, the revolutionary new model selection tool that combines the strengths of AIC and BIC, all while reading the tea leaves of your data.
Model Magic uses a cutting-edge parametricity index to automatically adapt its behavior, switching between consistency and efficiency depending on the true underlying structure of your time series.
Gone are the days of guessing which criterion to use. Model Magic does the hard work for you, delivering the perfect model order every time, whether it's a tidy finite process or a complex infinite one.
Don't settle for outdated and flexible model selection methods. Experience the magic of Model Magic and take your time series analysis to new heights.
Visit modelmagic.com to learn more and start unlocking the hidden patterns in your data today. Model Magic, the smarter way to select your models. Tom and Jen, Model Magic, because your data deserves better.
Here is a detailed podcast transcript about the research paper, A Martingale Analysis of First Passage Times of Time-Dependent Wiener Diffusion Models. Welcome to the Exploring Discoveries podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific research with expert analysis and compelling storytelling. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today, we're excited to discuss a fascinating paper that uses advanced mathematical techniques to shed new light on the dynamics of decision-making. The paper is titled A Martingale Analysis of First Passage Times of Time-Dependent Wiener Diffusion Models, and it was authored by Vaibhav Srivastava, Samuel F. Fung, Jonathan D. Cohen, Naomi Eric Leonard, and Amitai Shenhav.
This paper tackles a long-standing challenge in psychology and neuroscience, how to model the decision-making process as a noisy accumulation of evidence over time. Many researchers have used mathematical models based on the Wiener diffusion process, which describes the random walk of a particle as it diffuses between two absorbing boundaries. These models have been incredibly successful at capturing the dynamics of decision-making in everything from perceptual tasks to value-based choices.
However, the classic Wiener diffusion models make a key assumption that the parameters of the process, like the drift rate and diffusion rate, remain constant throughout the decision. But in the real world, it's likely that these parameters change over time as the decision maker's focus, motivation, or available information shifts. That's where this new paper comes in. The authors use powerful mathematical techniques from martingale theory to analyze a more realistic, time-dependent version of the Wiener diffusion model.
Specifically, they derive analytical formulas for the mean decision time, the probability of hitting the upper or lower decision threshold, and the full first passage time distribution for a Wiener process with time-varying parameters. This allows them to directly compute these key decision-making metrics without having to numerically integrate complex equations, as previous approaches required.
The authors start by reviewing how martingale theory can be used to re-derive the classical results for the single-stage, time-invariant Wiener diffusion model. This lays the groundwork for their main contribution, the analysis of the multi-stage, time-dependent model. By viewing the process as a sequence of single-stage models with random initial conditions, they're able to recursively compute all the relevant decision statistics.
What's really impressive is how the authors leverage the optional sampling theorem from martingale theory. This powerful result allows them to compute expected values and probabilities for the random first passage time, even though it depends on the entire history of the stochastic process. It's a beautiful application of advanced mathematical tools to a challenging problem in cognitive science.
Absolutely, and the implications are quite significant. Being able to analytically compute these decision-making metrics, rather than relying on simulations or numerical integration, opens up all sorts of new possibilities. The authors demonstrate how their framework can be used to model time pressure, changing attention, and even optimize the speed-accuracy trade-off to maximize reward rate.
It's a great example of how rigorous mathematical analysis can deepen our understanding of complex cognitive phenomena. By relaxing the restrictive assumptions of previous models, this work provides a more realistic and flexible framework for investigating the dynamics of decision-making. I'm really excited to see how researchers in psychology and neuroscience might leverage these new analytical tools.
Me too. This paper really showcases the power of interdisciplinary collaboration. The authors bring together expertise in stochastic processes, optimal control, and cognitive science to tackle an important problem in a novel way. It's an impressive demonstration of how mathematical modeling can illuminate the inner workings of the human mind.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive in and explore the details of this fascinating research. As the authors describe, the key innovation is the shift from a single stage to a multi-stage Wiener diffusion model. Can you tell us more about what that means and why it's significant?
Sure. Let's start by quickly reviewing the classic single-stage Wiener diffusion model. In this framework, the state variable x, t, represents the noisy accumulation of evidence over time, with a constant drift rate mu and diffusion rate sigma. A decision is made when x, t, first reaches one of two absorbing boundaries, corresponding to the two possible choices.
Right, and the core assumption is that those drift and diffusion parameters remain fixed throughout the entire decision process. But as we mentioned, that's not necessarily realistic. In many real-world scenarios, the decision maker's focus, motivation, or available information could change over time, causing the underlying parameters to vary.
Exactly. That's where the multi-stage model comes in. The authors partition the time axis into n intervals, or stages, and allow the drift rate, diffusion rate, and decision thresholds to be different in each stage. So now we have a more flexible model that can capture dynamic changes in the decision process.
And to analyze this more complex, time-dependent model, the authors leverage some powerful mathematical tools from martingale theory. Can you explain a bit about martingales and how they're used here?
Martingales are a special class of stochastic processes that have the property of fair play. The expected value of the process at any future time is equal to its current value. This makes them incredibly useful for analyzing random walk processes like the Wiener diffusion. The key result the authors use is the optional sampling theorem. This states that if you have a martingale and you stop it at a random time, the expected value of the martingale at that stopping time is still equal to its initial value.
Ah, I see. That's really clever. By identifying the right martingales associated with the Wiener process, they can use the optional sampling theorem to derive analytical expressions for the decision-making metrics, even with the time-varying parameters.
Exactly. For the single-stage model, they show how to use martingales to directly compute the probability of hitting the upper or lower threshold, the mean decision time, and the full first passage time distribution. These classical results emerge very naturally from the martingale framework.
And then for the multi-stage model, they build on that by treating each stage as a separate single-stage process with a random initial condition carried over from the previous stage. Can you walk us through how they do that analysis?
Sure. It's a really elegant approach. The key is that at the start of each stage, the initial condition x, t underscore i1, is a random variable, since it depends on whether a decision was made in the previous stages. The authors show how to compute the density of this random initial condition using the results from the previous stage. Then, for each stage, they can apply the same martingale techniques as in the single-stage model to derive expressions for the hitting probabilities, mean decision times, and first passage time distributions, but now conditioned on this random initial state.
I see, so they're recursively building up the analysis stage by stage. That must allow them to very efficiently compute all the relevant decision-making statistics for the full multi-stage process.
Exactly. By aggregating the stage-wise results, they arrive at compact analytical formulas for the overall first passage time distribution, mean decision time, and threshold hitting probabilities. It's a powerful demonstration of how martingale theory can provide a comprehensive, semi-analytic treatment of these complex stochastic decision-making models.
That's really impressive. And as you mentioned earlier, the authors show how this framework can be applied to study some interesting cognitive phenomena, like time pressure and changing attention. Can you give us a few examples of how they use the model in that way?
Absolutely. One example they discuss is modeling a shrinking spotlight effect, where attention gradually narrows from a broad focus to a more concentrated one over the course of the decision. They approximate this using a multi-stage model with gradually decreasing drift rates, and show how their analytical expressions can capture the resulting changes in first passage time distributions.
That's a really clever application. Being able to model dynamic changes in attention or focus is crucial for understanding real-world decision-making. And they also look at the case of collapsing decision thresholds, right? To capture the idea of increasing time pressure or urgency over the course of the decision process.
Yes, that's another great example. The authors show how their framework can handle piecewise constant changes in the decision thresholds over time. This allows them to model situations where the decision maker starts with more stringent criteria, but as time passes those thresholds gradually collapse in order to force a decision.
Fascinating. And they even use this multi-stage model to explore the optimal speed-accuracy trade-off, by looking at how to set the thresholds to maximize some reward function. That seems like a really powerful application.
Absolutely. They demonstrate how the analytical expressions they derived can be used to compute a reward rate function that captures both the accuracy of the decision and the speed with which it's made. Then they show how to optimize that reward rate by tuning the threshold parameters, either keeping them constant or allowing them to vary across stages.
That's really exciting. Being able to analytically optimize the decision process like that opens up all sorts of possibilities. I can imagine cognitive scientists and computational neuroscientists being very excited about the potential of this framework.
Definitely. This paper is a great example of how rigorous mathematical analysis can yield deep insights into the mechanisms of decision-making. By relaxing the assumptions of previous models and leveraging advanced techniques from probability theory, the authors have provided a much more flexible and powerful modeling approach.
Absolutely. And I think what's most impressive is how they're able to maintain analytical tractability even with the increased complexity of the time-varying parameters. That's a real tour de force of applied mathematics.
Agreed. The authors have really raised the bar in terms of the sophistication of the models we can use to understand decision-making processes. It's an outstanding contribution that highlights the value of interdisciplinary collaboration between cognitive science, neuroscience, and fields like stochastic analysis.
Definitely. Well, this has been a fascinating dive into some cutting-edge research. Before we wrap up, I'm curious to hear your final thoughts. What do you think are the key takeaways from this paper, and where do you see this work leading in the future?
That's a great question. I think the key takeaway is just how powerful mathematical tools like martingales can be for illuminating the dynamics of decision-making. By relaxing the rigid assumptions of previous models, this work opens up all sorts of new possibilities for investigating real-world cognitive phenomena. Looking ahead, I'm really excited to see how researchers in psychology and neuroscience leverage this framework. Being able to analytically compute decision statistics, rather than relying on simulations, could enable much richer model-based analyses of behavioral and neural data. And the ability to optimize reward functions could lead to important insights about cognitive strategies and neural mechanisms.
Absolutely. I agree that the analytical tractability of this approach is a game changer. It allows for a level of mathematical rigor and flexibility that was simply not possible with previous modeling techniques. I could see this work leading to breakthroughs in our understanding of attention, motivation, cognitive control, and so many other core aspects of decision making.
Definitely. And beyond just the conceptual advances, I think this paper also represents an important methodological contribution. By demonstrating the power of martingale theory in this domain, the authors are paving the way for more cross-pollination between fields like stochastic processes, optimal control, and cognitive science. That kind of interdisciplinary synergy is where some of the most exciting discoveries happen.
Well said. This has been a fascinating discussion, and I'm really grateful to the authors for pushing the boundaries of our understanding in this way. Decision-making is such a fundamental aspect of cognition, and tools like this that can capture its dynamic complexity are invaluable.
Absolutely. I think this paper is a great example of how rigorous mathematical analysis, combined with deep domain knowledge, can yield important new insights. It's an impressive contribution that I'm sure will inspire a lot of follow-up work in the years to come.
I agree completely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining us on Exploring Discoveries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss our next deep dive into the cutting edge of scientific research.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Are you tired of making decisions that feel like a noisy random walk?
Introducing the new Martingale Decision Optimizer, the revolutionary cognitive enhancement system that optimizes your speed-accuracy trade-off for peak performance.
Using advanced mathematical modeling techniques from the latest neuroscience research, the Martingale Decision Optimizer analyzes your brain's decision-making dynamics in real time.
It then automatically adjusts your attentional focus, motivation levels, and decision thresholds to help you make faster, smarter choices, whether you're solving complex problems, navigating high-pressure situations, or trying to beat your friends at chess.
The secret? Cutting-edge Martingale theory that allows the Martingale Decision Optimizer to analytically compute the ideal parameters to maximize your reward rate.
No more guessing, no more mental fatigue. Just peak cognitive performance, brought to you by the power of stochastic calculus.
So stop drifting aimlessly through life's decisions. Upgrade to the Martingale Decision Optimizer and start optimizing your cognitive superpowers today.
The Martingale Decision Optimizer, making your brain a well-tuned, evidence-accumulating machine. Available now at martingaledecisionoptimizer.com.
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Compendium, where we dive into the fascinating world of groundbreaking research. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jane.
Hello listeners. Today, we're excited to explore a paper that offers new analytical solutions to a modified version of the classic Black-Scholes equation, focusing on the European put option. This research could have significant implications for how we price and understand financial options.
The paper is titled New Analytical Solutions of a Modified Black-Scholes Equation with the European Put Option, and it was authored by Havan Ospina from EAFIT University in Colombia.
The Black-Scholes equation is a fundamental tool in finance, used to estimate the prices of various speculative financial options. However, as Tom mentioned, the researchers here have proposed a modified version of this equation, which they claim can better predict real-world option prices compared to the standard Black-Scholes model.
Exactly. The key idea is that the standard Black-Scholes equation relies on certain assumptions, like constant volatility and risk-free interest rates, which don't always hold true in the real world. The modified equation introduced in this paper aims to capture more realistic market conditions.
So, what did the researchers do, and what did they find? Let's dive in.
The researchers start by introducing the standard Black-Scholes equation, which describes how the price of an option, VTS, changes over time T and depends on the current price of the underlying asset, S. This equation includes parameters like volatility, sigma, and the risk-free interest rate, R.
Right. And the researchers then present two specific modifications to the standard equation. The first is the sub-Black-Scholes case, where the volatility term is reduced compared to the standard model. The second is the supra-Black-Scholes case, where the volatility is increased.
Fascinating. So, they're essentially exploring how changing the volatility parameter affects the option pricing dynamics. And to study this, they focus on the European put option, which gives the holder the right to sell the underlying asset at a fixed price, known as the strike price.
Exactly. The researchers then set out to find analytical solutions to these modified Black-Scholes equations in the context of the European put option. This is no easy feat, as the standard Black-Scholes equation is notoriously difficult to solve exactly.
That's where the real magic happens. The researchers used some advanced mathematical techniques, including special functions from quantum mechanics like Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials, to derive exact solutions for both the sub-black holes and supra-black holes cases.
Wow, that's impressive. Can you walk us through how they did that?
Sure, let's dig into the details. For the sub-black holes case, the researchers started by looking for a solution in the form of an exponential function multiplied by an unknown function, f, s, t. Plugging this into the modified equation, they were able to reduce it to a simpler ordinary differential equation.
And that's where the special functions come into play, right? The researchers used Kummer functions and associated Laguerre polynomials to obtain an exact, closed-form solution for f, s, t.
Exactly. By carefully choosing the parameters in these mathematical functions, they were able to satisfy the boundary conditions of the European put option and arrive at a complete analytical solution.
That's incredible, and they did a similar process for the supra-black holes case as well.
Yes, the approach was analogous. They again looked for a solution in the form of an exponential function multiplied by an unknown f, s, t, but this time the modified equation led to a different differential equation. Once more, the researchers leveraged the properties of Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials to find the exact solution.
Wow, the level of mathematical sophistication in this paper is really impressive. But the researchers didn't stop there, did they? They also conducted some numerical experiments to validate their analytical solutions.
That's right. They ran simulations using the standard Black-Scholes equation and compared the results to their new solutions for the sub-Black-Scholes and supra-Black-Scholes cases. The findings were quite fascinating.
Can you tell us more about what they found?
Sure. For the sub-Black-Scholes case, the researchers showed that their new solution produced option prices that were lower than the standard Black-Scholes model. Essentially, the modified equation was capturing some of the real-world discrepancies between observed and theoretical option prices.
And for the supra-black holes case?
Interestingly, the opposite was true. The option prices derived from the supra-black holes solution were higher than the standard black holes prices. This suggests that the modified equation with increased volatility can better account for the high-priced options sometimes seen in financial markets.
That's really intriguing. It seems like these new analytical solutions provide a more nuanced and flexible framework for pricing options compared to the classic Black-Scholes equation.
Absolutely. The researchers argue that their modified equations, while still based on the same fundamental principles, can make better predictions without introducing additional parameters with unclear financial interpretations. This could be a significant advance in the field of quantitative finance.
And beyond the practical implications for option pricing, this research also has interesting connections to quantum mechanics, right? You mentioned the researchers drawing inspiration from exact solutions in that domain.
Yes, that's a really fascinating aspect of this work. The researchers note that their approach of using special functions like Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials to find exact solutions has parallels in quantum mechanics, where similar techniques are used to solve problems like the quantum harmonic oscillator and the hydrogen atom.
Ah, I see. So there's this intriguing interplay between mathematical physics and financial mathematics, with the researchers leveraging tools and insights from one domain to make progress in the other.
Exactly. The researchers suggest that this cross-pollination between fields could lead to further advancements in quantum econophysics, where the principles and methods of quantum mechanics are applied to better understand complex financial systems.
Wow, that's a really compelling direction for future research. This paper is a great example of how rigorous mathematical analysis, combined with physical intuition, can yield innovative solutions to real-world problems.
Absolutely. It's a testament to the power of interdisciplinary collaboration and the ongoing quest to better understand the intricate dynamics of financial markets.
Well, this has been a truly fascinating deep dive into this cutting-edge research. Thank you, Tom, for guiding us through the details so eloquently.
It's been my pleasure, Jane. This is the kind of research that really gets me excited about the potential for science to unlock new insights and transform the way we approach complex challenges.
Agreed. This is a great example of how rigorous mathematical analysis, combined with physical intuition, can yield innovative solutions to real-world problems. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this work evolves and what new directions it might inspire in the field of quantitative finance.
Me too, Jane. This is just the kind of research that makes our podcast so rewarding to explore. We'll be sure to keep an eye out for any updates or follow-up studies from the researchers. Until next time, listeners, keep exploring the frontiers of discovery with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cutting Edge Compendium.
Are you tired of the same old, boring financial models? Well, have we got the solution for you? Introducing Quantum Quants, the cutting-edge financial analysis firm that's bridging the gap between quantum physics and Wall Street.
That's right, folks. Our team of brilliant mathematicians and ex-hedge fund managers have developed a revolutionary new approach to option pricing using the very same techniques that physicists use to solve problems in quantum mechanics.
No more relying on outdated Black-Scholes formulas. With Quantum Quants, you'll get options pricing that's as precise as Schrödinger's cat, only without the whole cat-in-a-box controversy.
Our proprietary Supra Black-Scholes model will have you pricing options like a quantum superstar. And if that's not enough, we've also got a sub-Black-Scholes solution for all you risk-averse types out there.
So why settle for traditional financial analysis when you can harness the power of quantum econophysics? Call Quantum Quants today, and let us show you the future of option trading. Your portfolio will be positively entangled.
Quantum Quants, where the uncertainty principle meets the certainty of profits. Call 1-800-Schrödinger to schedule your consultation.
Here is the transcript for the podcast episode. Welcome to our show. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jane.
Hi everyone. Today we're diving into a fascinating research paper that explores the world of transfer pricing manipulation and its impact on corporate taxation. The paper is titled Transfer Pricing Manipulation, Tax Penalty Cost and the Impact of Foreign Profit Taxation, and it's authored by Alex Augusto Tim Rathke.
This is a really important topic, Jane. Transfer pricing is the pricing of goods and services between different divisions or subsidiaries of a multinational corporation. And as we'll learn, multinationals can sometimes manipulate these transfer prices to shift profits from high-tax countries to low-tax countries, reducing their overall tax burden.
Exactly. The researchers here set out to analyze the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation when companies face the risk of tax penalties. They also explore how different rules for taxing foreign profits can impact a company's incentive to engage in this income-shifting behavior.
It's a complex issue, but the researchers develop a really elegant theoretical model to capture the key dynamics at play. Let's dive in and take a closer look.
The researchers start by setting up the basic framework. Imagine a multinational corporation with a parent company in country 1 and a subsidiary in country 2. The parent company exports some of its output to the subsidiary and charges a transfer price, P, for these intra-firm transactions.
Now, if the tax rate in country 2 is higher than the tax rate in country 1, the multinational has an incentive to shift profits from the high-tax country 2 to the low-tax country 1 by manipulating that transfer price, page. They can do this by setting P artificially high, a strategy known as the high transfer price or HTP case.
Conversely, if the tax rate in country 2 is lower than country 1, the multinational will want to shift profits in the opposite direction by setting P artificially low, the low transfer price or LTP case. This income shifting allows the company to reduce its global tax burden.
To discourage this transfer pricing manipulation, both countries impose non-negligible tax penalties that the company has to pay if the difference between the transfer price P and an arm's length price parameter P, G3364, is deemed to have caused profits to be shifted.
The researchers model the probability of this tax penalty being imposed as having two key components. The first, alpha, is an endogenous probability that reflects how much the company's transfer pricing choice deviates from the arm's length range. The second, phi I, is an exogenous probability that captures the tax enforcement efforts of each country.
This is a really clever way to split up the factors influencing the expected tax penalty. The endogenous alpha depends on the company's own actions, while the exogenous phi I is determined by government policies and auditing practices. Combining these two probabilities gives the overall expected tax penalty the company faces.
Exactly. The researchers then derive the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation by having the company maximize its global after-tax profits, taking into account this expected tax penalty cost. And the results are fascinating.
They find that stricter tax enforcement, as reflected in a higher phi I, reduces the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation. The more aggressively a country goes after income shifting, the less incentive the company has to engage in it.
Interestingly, the researchers also show that the arm's length range, defined by the parameters P-min and P-max, plays a key role. The wider this accepted range of market prices, the more leeway the company has to manipulate the transfer price and still claim compliance with the arm's length principle.
So in essence, even if countries have strong transfer pricing rules on the books, if those rules allow for a broad interpretation of what counts as an arm's length price, multinationals can still find ways to game the system and shift profits.
Absolutely. The researchers then take this model and apply it to analyze the impact of different rules for taxing foreign profits. This is really important, because how a country taxes its multinationals' overseas earnings can greatly influence the incentive to engage in transfer pricing manipulation.
Let's start with the proportional tax credit rule. Here, the home country taxes the foreign profits when they are repatriated, but gives a tax credit for the foreign taxes paid. The researchers find that this rule reduces the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation in proportion to the repatriation rate.
Makes sense. The more profits the company has to bring back home and pay taxes on, the less incentive it has to shift those profits in the first place. But the researchers point out that this rule isn't fully effective if the company can still defer repatriating a portion of its foreign earnings.
Right. That's where the limited tax credit rule comes in. Here, the home country caps the tax credit at the amount of tax it would have levied on those foreign profits. The researchers show this rule is less efficient at curbing income shifting, especially if the company can manage the repatriation rate.
Fascinating. And then with the foreign tax deduction rule, where the home country simply allows the foreign taxes to be deducted from the company's taxable income, the researchers find that income shifting incentives may not be fully neutralized, depending on the repatriation rate.
Yeah, the key insight is that even if the home and host country tax rates are equal, the company can still benefit from manipulating transfer prices if it's able to defer repatriating a significant portion of its foreign profits. The tax deduction rule doesn't eliminate that incentive.
It's a really nuanced and comprehensive analysis. The researchers also look at the impact of import tariffs, showing how those can further influence the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation. It's amazing how many different factors come into play here.
Absolutely. This paper does an excellent job of capturing the complex web of incentives and regulations that multinationals navigate when it comes to international tax planning. It really highlights the challenges faced by policymakers trying to crack down on income shifting.
I agree. The researchers' modeling approach is so insightful. By decomposing the expected tax penalty into endogenous and exogenous probabilities, they're able to isolate the different forces at work and draw out some very important implications.
Definitely. And I think their findings have major real-world relevance. As they note, the OECD has been grappling with the limitations of the current arm's length standard in transfer pricing, and this research sheds light on how that principle can be exploited.
Absolutely. This paper provides a rigorous, yet accessible, framework for understanding the incentives and trade-offs involved in international tax planning. It's a must-read for anyone interested in the intersection of corporate taxation, global business, and public policy.
Well said. This was a truly fascinating discussion. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Upbeat jingle plays asterisk. Are you a multinational corporation looking to maximize your global profits?
Introducing Transfer Pricing Pro.
Transfer Pricing Pro is the all-in-one solution for all your international tax planning needs. Harness the power of transfer pricing manipulation to shift your profits to low-tax jurisdictions.
Our expert team of ex-IRS agents and creative accountants will help you navigate the complex web of tax laws and regulations. Reduce your global tax burden with our patent-pending fuzzy arm's-length technology.
With Transfer Pricing Pro, you'll be able to shift millions in profits, all while staying just asterisk within the rules. It's like playing a high-stakes game of tax Tetris.
Don't let those pesky tax authorities catch you. Let Transfer Pricing Pro handle it. Our ironclad guarantee. You'll never see a tax penalty again.
Call 1-800-PROFIT-SHIFT to get started today. That's 1-800-PROFIT-SHIFT.
Transfer Pricing Pro. Maximize your global takeover, one loophole at a time. Jingle plays and fades out.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Hello and welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific research. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper on using dynamic mode decomposition for financial trading strategies.
That's right. The paper is titled Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies and it's authored by Jordan Munn and J. Nathan Kutz.
The key finding of this research is that dynamic mode decomposition, or DMD, can be used as an effective data-driven approach for developing algorithmic trading strategies that capitalize on patterns in financial market data.
DMD is an emerging technique that allows researchers to extract low-dimensional, coherent structures from complex, high-dimensional datasets. And as the authors show, this makes it a powerful tool for analyzing the dynamics of financial markets.
Exactly. The researchers demonstrate how DMD can be used to decompose a portfolio of financial data, such as stock prices, into a set of dynamic modes that each exhibit their own characteristic temporal behavior.
By identifying these modes and understanding their growth or decay over time, the DMD approach allows you to make predictions about future market movements. This, in turn, can inform automated trading decisions to buy, sell, or hold different assets.
That's fascinating. So DMD is essentially giving them a data-driven, equation-free way to model the complex, nonlinear dynamics of the stock market, without relying on traditional mathematical models.
Right. The key advantage is that DMD doesn't require you to specify an underlying dynamical system governing the market behavior. It extracts this directly from the historical data in an adaptive, flexible way.
That must make it much more robust to the types of non-stationarity and multi-scale phenomena we see in real financial time series data. Can you walk us through how the DMD algorithm actually works?
Sure. Let me dive into the technical details. The core idea behind DMD is to decompose the financial data matrix, which contains the stock prices or portfolio values over time, into a set of temporal modes and their associated growth, decay rates.
Okay. I'm picturing a matrix where the rows are different companies or assets, the columns are different time points, and the entries are the corresponding stock prices or portfolio values.
Exactly. The DMD algorithm then finds a best-fit linear dynamical system that approximates the evolution of this data matrix over time. Even though the underlying market dynamics may be highly nonlinear, DMD can capture the dominant linear structures.
And how does it do that? What's the mathematical machinery under the hood?
Well, the key is that DMD connects to the idea of the Koopman operator, a linear, infinite-dimensional operator that can represent nonlinear dynamics without linearization. By computing the eigenvalues and eigenvectors of this Koopman operator from the data, DMD extracts the fundamental modes of the system.
I see. So it's essentially finding a low-dimensional linear approximation to the nonlinear market dynamics. And the eigenvalues of this linear model tell you the growth or decay rates of each mode over time.
Exactly. The modes with positive real parts in their eigenvalues correspond to growing, profitable trading opportunities, while the negative ones indicate declining, money-losing trends. This allows the DMD-based trading strategy to identify the most promising investment prospects.
That's really clever. And how do the researchers use this information to develop a trading algorithm?
They have a few key steps. First, they use historical data to find the optimal sampling window, the number of past days to look at, and prediction window, the number of future days to predict, that give the best trading success rates.
Okay. So they're running the DMD analysis repeatedly on sliding windows of past data to find the sweet spot in terms of how much historical information to use to make the most accurate short-term forecasts.
Right, and they call these the trading hotspots, the specific sampling window, prediction window, combinations that provide the highest success rates when backtested on historical data.
I see, and then how do they actually execute the trading strategy based on these hotspots? The key is that the DMD analysis provides them with predictions of the future state of the market, in the form of the evolved DMD modes. They can then use those predictions to make informed buy, sell or hold decisions for different assets in their portfolio.
Exactly. They divide their capital evenly across all the companies in their portfolio, and then enter or exit positions based on whether the DMD forecasts indicate the stock prices are going to rise or fall in the near future.
That's really fascinating, and I imagine this adaptive, data-driven approach gives them an advantage over more traditional trading strategies.
Absolutely. The researchers show that in several market sectors, like biotech, transportation, and home construction, the DMD-based trading algorithm significantly outperforms simply buying and holding the benchmark S&P 500 index.
That's impressive. Do they see consistent outperformance across all sectors? Or are there some areas where the DMD strategy struggles?
Great question. The paper highlights that the DMD approach works best in sectors that exhibit clear trading hotspots, areas in the sampling window, prediction window, space where the success rates are consistently high.
I see. So in more chaotic or unpredictable market sectors, the DMD may not be able to identify those reliable patterns that it can capitalize on.
Exactly. For sectors like defense, healthcare, and biotech, the researchers didn't find the same pronounced hotspot regions. And in those cases, the DMD-based trading didn't outperform the benchmark as dramatically.
That makes sense. The power of the DMD approach really seems to be in its ability to extract the underlying coherent structures in the data. When those structures aren't as evident, the method struggles.
Right, and the researchers note that's a key area for future work. Developing ways to make the DMD approach more robust to markets without clear hotspots. But overall, it's a really promising new tool for data-driven financial modeling and trading.
Definitely. I'm fascinated by how this bridges techniques from dynamical systems, machine learning, and finance. It's a great example of how cross-pollination between fields can lead to innovative solutions.
Absolutely. This paper shows the power of bringing cutting-edge mathematical tools to bear on complex real-world problems. DMD may not be a silver bullet for financial trading, but it's a versatile technique with a lot of potential.
Well, this was a really insightful discussion. I think listeners will come away with a much better understanding of how DMD works and how it can be applied in finance. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Just that I'm really excited to see what other innovative applications of DMD emerge, both in finance and beyond. This is a rapidly developing field with a lot of room for discovery.
Agreed. This is the kind of research that really pushes the boundaries of what's possible. I can't wait to see what other breakthroughs come out of this work. Thanks for joining me today, Tom.
My pleasure, Jane. Until next time, listeners, keep exploring those cutting-edge discoveries. Here is a funny, weird, and concise podcast commercial for a company that exists as a result of the Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies paper. Are you tired of the same old buy-and-hold investing strategies?
Longing for a truly cutting-edge, data-driven approach to financial trading?
Then you need to check out Koopman Capital, the hedge fund that's using dynamic mode decomposition to dominate the markets.
That's right. Our team of mathematicians and engineers have cracked the code of the stock market using the power of the Koopman operator.
Using DMD, we can extract the fundamental modes underpinning any financial time series. Then we just write those modes to consistent alpha.
It's like surfing the eigenvalues, my friends. No more relying on outdated models or market intuition.
Just cold, hard linear algebra. Join Koopman Capital today and start raking in the profits.
Warning. Side effects may include excessive avowal of the Koopman operator, a burning hatred of the S&P 500, and an overwhelming desire to read academic papers.
Koopman Capital, making finance dynamic again.
Call 1-800-DMD-TRADE to open your account now.